Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. On Saturday, 11 Jewish worshipers in Pittsburgh were killed in a shooting attack on the Tree of Life Synagogue and the people who gathered there. The victims ranged in age from 65 to 97. Matilda, I can't even get through this. Matilda Oppenheimer and Stephen Rosenthal are here with me in the studio. And I haven't talked about this all week, and here I am. I'm already going to start to cry. What a sad day. All right, so NPR reports that the Anti-Defamation League has been sounding the alarm for months on what it says is a historic 60% rise in anti-Semitic incidents from 2016 to 2017. We're going to skip the introduction and go right to you so you can kind of tell us a little bit, Matilda, about what folks are doing in South Dakota this weekend to sort of unite in support. There's a gathering. Tell me a little bit about that gathering, please.
Is being organized by really all the Jews of South Dakota, which includes Mount Zion Temple in Sioux Falls, Chabad, South Dakota. We have input from a congregation in Rapid City, input, we're hoping for input from Aberdeen, and people who are variously scattered throughout South Dakota. Steve, do you want to tell what the service is going to be?
Well, the service is going to be in really a solidarity service. Our community is really in mourning over the loss of these people's lives, because just as though it happened in Pittsburgh, it just as easily could have happened in Sioux Falls or Rapid City or anywhere else in America. And unfortunately, because it's anti-Semitism, because it's this one murderer who went into the synagogue in and they're welcoming him, all he wanted to do, and he said, I just want to kill Jews. Yeah. And so you don't have to be, it's just unfortunate for the people that were in Pittsburgh at Tree of Life Synagogue that they were the victims of that, but it just as easily could have been us at Mount Zion Congregation in Sioux Falls or Synagogue of the Hills in Rapid City or really anywhere else in America. And it's just, we need to stand together as Jews. We need to stand together with our community. The governor has unfortunately apologized that he already had previous arrangements and could not attend, but has sent a letter to the people that will be attending the service. And Mayor Tin Hacken will also be there and speak out for the city of Sioux Falls.
So the service will be this coming Sunday on Augustana University campus at the, I believe it's called Hamry Hall.
It's called Hamry now, yes.
Yes, It's formerly the Kresge Auditorium or the Kresge Performing Arts Center. And everyone is welcome, Jewish, non-Jewish. Everyone is welcome to show their support. The purposes are to mourn the victims of this tragic event, which extends the core of course, the center is Pittsburgh and that community and that synagogue, but beyond that, to all of us throughout the country, throughout the world, there are hateful acts being committed against all kinds of all peoples, depending on what groups you associate with. So this kind of, we're never all going to agree on things. We're never all going to understand each other's perspectives on things, whatever they are. But for some people, and there are certainly more good people in the world than there are evil or bad, but it just takes a few of these people with the evil in them who think that they have, who have the audacity to take, go so far as to take the lives of other people, innocent people. None of us should tolerate this kind of reaction. The service will begin at 4 p.m., It will be both it'll be a service of mourning, a service of remembrance, a service of healing, and everyone's welcome.
When you first heard of the shootings, and it seems like, you know, we live in a world where on any given day, it might be in our mind that we could hear something like this, a school shooting, a shooting at a house of worship. And then when you hear this happens in Pittsburgh and it's a Jewish synagogue, it's during, it's on a Saturday. The people who are, the oldest person is 97 years old, is a victim of this shooting. Some of your first responses, have we learned how to it's just like, I can't believe that I'm still surprised. I can't believe that I'm still shocked. I can't believe that I'm still angry, but I'm glad that I'm still, I don't even know what to say. So what are some of the first things that you, as you process it, how did you process it, especially when you hear you know, the words of the man who commits the act, saying, I want to kill Jews.
It's really a difficult feeling to even describe. I mean, it certainly is anger, but kind of like Matilda says, I mean, when we hear any of these, what I'm going to call terrorist incidents, you know, I take it personally, and I just am shocked and horrified, is that, especially with anti-Semitism, which probably deal more with than any other form of hatred, but they're all bad. But, you know, we're only 70, 80 years from the Holocaust, you know, where 6 million of our people were slaughtered. And the thing is that anti-Semitism has been going on really. You may want to go all the way back to Pharaoh in Egypt and what he was doing to the children of Israel. I mean, so you could say this has been going on for almost 4,000 years, you know, and we haven't found a cure for this one particular form of hate. And it just makes me terribly angry, but it also makes me terribly sad, is that, you know, we can't learn to all recognize that we're all created in the image of God and that we all share, you know, a common values and common history, and to absolutely say that we have to deny this from ever happening again. And again, specifically with Jews, because that's very personal to me, but really it's for any group that is discriminated against and hated.
It wasn't too long ago that in Augustana they had welcomed two Holocaust survivors in the same mm-hmm. hall to talk about their experiences, and just a few weeks later we're talking about a new event. And I was going to say earlier, the reports from NPR were that the Anti-Defamation League has been sounding the alarm for months on what it says is a historic 60% rise in anti-Semitic incidents from 2016 to 2017, which is the biggest single-year increase in reported anti-Jewish hate since they started tracking data almost 40 years ago. They have another report that really looks at the online harassment of Jews and some of the things, how the internet is really fueling the spread of hate. Do you feel, Matilda, living here in South Dakota, you know, away from a large, vibrant Jewish community, you have a small, vibrant Jewish community that you're a part of, do you feel an increase in fear or apprehension? Are you noticing it in your life?
I must live in a bubble because I see the opposite. Actually, when this news broke, I started getting emails from friends of all religious backgrounds and persuasions and whatever, extending their condolences. And my children went to school, public schools in Sioux Falls, and they always experienced support. We were never quiet about who we were or what our religious beliefs were. We taught their classmates about some of our traditions, and we were very open in our home. And we have always had a very positive experience in Sioux Falls. I have heard from others in this community that is not necessarily universally true. Other people have had other experiences. At the temple itself, we've had periodic vandalism and graffiti and disruption of services over the years, but these incidents are few and far between. And the Sioux Falls Police Department, the Minnehaha County Sheriff's Department, everyone has been supportive. In fact, Saturday afternoon, within a couple of hours of the news breaking about what happened in Pittsburgh, my cell phone rang, and it was a call from a sergeant over at the Sioux Falls Police Department telling me that they were sitting outside the temple, and they actually had gone in and talked to my husband, who happened to be there for a Saturday morning event, and he had already talked to him in person, and now he was calling me, because I've had contact with him in the past, and saying, we're sitting out here for a few hours, and we're increasing our patrols, and tell us what your event schedules are. And we've had tremendous support from this community.
Anything you'd like to add to that, Steve?
Well, I would have to agree. I mean, similarly, I wasn't in Sioux Falls on that day. I was down visiting some of my children and grandchildren who live in Kansas, but I had calls from all over, from, you know, friends of ours who live here, expressing their condolences and what, you know, about what happened and what can they do and how can they help. And, you know, the outpouring is really somewhat mind-boggling. But again, it only takes one crazy
yeah.
to change the situation. Yeah. And even at the temple, I mean, in the very recent past, in a year or two, we've started establishing, you know, we've put in cameras and for security and those sort of things, something we never would have considered maybe even 5 years ago. Right. And it's just, you know, why do we have to live in this environment? It's not the America, you know, that I grew up with and dream that we could continue to have.
What does it mean for you when non-Jews reach out and say, this is not okay?
I mean, as I look through our history, I mean, and even going back in American history, is that during, you know, World War II and during when the Holocaust was happening and people did know about it, and there was no real concentrated outreach to the Jewish community. And to me, this is really different. And, you know, I've had Christian friends who have told me, yes, they expect similar incidences as the Holocaust happened in Europe, maybe even happened in America, and that they would reach out to us to protect the Jewish community if they came to be called on to do that. And I mean, it's just the friendships here are incredible. And we have to do it somewhat because we're such a small community, unlike Pittsburgh or even Minneapolis and St. Paul or Kansas City or whatever, where we don't really have the organized infrastructure that they have, where they have all these professionals who deal with this. Here, I mean, Matilda and I are both just lay people that have to, you know, and many others in our community that have to work to do outreach and establish those relationships with our non-Jewish friends and neighbors.
And I think almost every time we have a conversation about the Holocaust, whether it's a scholar, a Holocaust survivor, somebody who's, you know, putting together an event, one of the questions we ask is, why is it important to keep these stories something that we're still talking about? And you've answered that question without even asking it, is that the people who are reaching out to you saying, look, this is what, you know, we're watching, we're paying attention, this is what we're willing to do. Those are people who have heard those stories, who know their history at least enough to know what side of it they want to be on, should that be called for. This is why we tell Matilda our stories.
That's right. My father was actually in Vienna in the 1930s, and he was in medical school at the time, and he was among those who, when the University of Vienna evicted Jewish faculty and students, he was among those evicted. And I'd heard that story all my life. And every once in a while, I will Google my parents, although they've both have left this earth close to 30 years ago, but or more. But every once in a while, I will Google them just for the heck of it. And a couple of years ago, I actually found online copies of his transcripts, which validate that he was evicted. And I have told my children, very naively perhaps, over the years, I've said, we are so lucky to have been born in living in the United States of America, in this country, in this time, because go back to just my grandparents were murdered in the Holocaust. And it's like, just go back generations in our family, one, two generations were affected by this kind of treatment. And here we are, born in the United States, living in America, where we can practice our religion and freedom, and we can interact freely with people of other cultures and religions. And I feel so naive. Because it's a false sense of security. It's a false sense of complacency, and it's shattered.
Service details, Sunday, November 4th, 4 p.m., Augustana University Hammer Recital Hall. The public is welcome, and it is a time to gather together for a memorial service of remembrance, support, and unity for the victims of the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, and also for the Jewish community in South Dakota. We'll see you there. Thank you so much for coming and having this conversation. I hope it's one of many conversations, and that the rest are all far more positive and celebratory than today.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, thank you, Lori.